Hello and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier podcast of Elmer Milan. I'm your host, Brandon Jones, and I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm so glad it's the end of the week. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I'm so super sleepy. But I'm going to keep it together. I'm going to keep it together now because we've got Nick Dahl and Joseph Jammer Medina in the room. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Good. I'm back.
Nick Dahl is back. Yeah. He's finally back after like a month of being MIA.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. No problem. We held down the fort. I think we did a pretty good job. We had some interviews. We've had a format change, I guess. Since I don't even know, were you a part of the format change yet, or is that new to you too?
Oh, the news first and stuff.
The new/review format that we're doing.
We did that in our like first two.
But we usually incorporate interviews, or we have been incorporating interviews. So that you haven't had the chance to do that.
No.
So we're trying a new thing.
Someday you'll get.
I think it works. It's fun.
Even though
it's fun, I like
podcast. I like it. I have no complaints. The only complaint I have is I have to talk to you for about an hour and 45 minutes a day or a week.
It's so hard. I can't stand you.
Thank God I took some time off.
Can't stand you. Jammer, you did a move. How was the move?
It was a move. It was stressful. I lost a lot of sleep. I carried a lot of things. My cats loved me, then hated me. Now they're okay with me now. After all this moving around. I've had more people come in and out of my house than I am comfortable with during a pandemic because of, you know, having to get freaking contractors come in to take care of shit. So that's annoying. But yeah, it'll do. Like, it's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Nothing's wrong. The house is great. I'm happy to be back here in the lovely state of Colorado. So yeah, I have no complaints.
Okay, cool.
Welcome home.
Wherever you are, that's home.
Well, I'm in Colorado. This is the place to be.
So you guys going to do a live show? You guys going to do like a meetup in a bar?
Oh, wait. Once this pandemic is over, I'm totally down to do a live show. Once the coronavirus gets the fuck out of here.
It's never going to end.
I'm saying like a year. In a year, I'm saying is when we're going to be able to do something like that.
In a year, you guys are like a leper colony. I'm long-term planning for the United States to be a leper colony. That's what I'm long-term planning for. You guys are super fucked. Like proper fucked.
Yeah, I forgot you're not here. I forgot.
I'm not here. And it's fucking glory. Were you about to say something like, you're in it with us too? No, I'm not. I'm not.
You're an American.
Yeah, but I'm thousands of miles away. That's like, you're an American? Yeah, but I'm in space. And on the moon, bitch.
Space, no one can hear you cough.
That's right. Anyway, so that's super exciting. Everybody's got some stuff going on. Everybody got some things going on. That's cool. I'm doing all right. I'm chilling.
Oh, yeah. Cool. How you doing?
I was going to say, I wasn't feeling bad for myself. I was just going to, you know, I was just going to introduce myself. It's all right. I'm doing well. Like I said, I'm sleepy. I've been doing a lot of TV watching and reading. Actually, I think I've been doing more reading than TV watching. So I've been reading One Piece. I'm trying to get to my goal.
Oh, how far are you?
I am 90, 94, 95 chapters in. So okay. It's pretty good. I don't want to spoil too much because I am going to write a piece about this. So I already got the title down. It's super cliche. And like when you see it, you'd be like, yeah, I saw that coming. But I'm enjoying it. I'm not quite at, you know, this is the greatest piece of literature because I feel like I see people say that like this is just the greatest story known to me. Like this is it. This is it right here. It's good. It is very good. And it's, you know, this is the longest I've ever read any manga. And I definitely see the appeal. I see the attraction. I remember, so we had Brian Newton on the show a few weeks ago and I shot him a message. And as I thought that I was starting to get into it, I asked him, I was like, you know, so should I watch the anime? Do I have to? He's like, nah, you don't have to. And I was like, all right, good. Cause the thing that concerned me was I caught like a 10-second clip of the anime and just Luffy's voice. No, nah, son.
I mean, doesn't work for me. Wait until if you heard the Japanese voice, it's like, it's very much, it has sort of a little boy voice, which is a trope in manga and anime. So it's just like, that's the reason behind that. It either appeals to you or it doesn't, or you get used to it.
I think it's because I read it first, and in my head, he already has a voice, and it's not that.
Okay.
So yeah, I just don't know if I can wrap my head around that.
So what arc are you in right now?
I just finished Arlong.
Okay.
Like literally just finished it. So Nami has just jumped on the ship. She is part of the crew. She's part of the ship, part of the crew from Pirates of the Caribbean. And she is
part of the ship, part of the crew.
Part of the ship, part of the crew. She's stolen everyone's wallet. She has said goodbye. And I want to get to at least chapter 100 because I feel like that's a nice round number to be like, all right, you are 10% of the way through this epic saga. What do you think?
So I will say this, as far as like your concerns about the show not being like the greatest piece of literature, I'd say by the end of Arlong, you should know whether or not you like it and you think it's worth pursuing further. So that's your choice there. However, I will say that...
Wait, before you go on. Hold on. The answers are yes and yes. Continue.
Okay. So it's going to go... it continues to go better and better and better for probably another few hundred chapters for me. And then it goes down a bit and then gets better and better for another couple hundred chapters. And then it kind of rides that way for a bit. Currently, in my opinion, it is not as good as it used to be. But I'm trying to reread the actual manga. I actually started recently rereading it from around where you are now currently to later on in the manga. I think right now I'm about 115 chapters in or so.
Okay.
So on chapter 115, not 200, 115.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see your perspective on that stuff because it's the next arc, the next big, not the next. It starts to change because up to this point, it's very much like each stop is like an arc and it changes into something where the next, each island is like a little mini arc that makes up a bigger saga over the course of several islands. So it just becomes bigger in scope. So it's just, it starts to change it up a bit.
Okay. Yeah, right now it feels very RPG-ish, like we're doing a bunch of loyalty missions. We go around, you know, I'm this, you know, protagonist. I go around, I meet these crew members, I do these loyalty quests, and then they join my crew. Like that's what it feels like, very Mass Effect-y or very like Japanese RPG, which, you know, that makes sense.
Now we got to get...
I'm enjoying it.
We got to get Nick on board with it. Now, here's the problem, Nick. So you mentioned you like physical copies, right? And I promise that you can have my physical copies. Okay. This is something we agreed on, correct?
Yeah.
So here is the problem. I remembered several years back when I was working at Disney, I let one of the animators borrow the first four volumes and they never gave it back to me. So I don't have the first four volumes for you to borrow, but I do have
what you're saying is
five.
It's going to be a road trip. Oh, that's lame. I was hoping you're going to say there's like a road trip where you guys, so now that you're in the same place, what you're supposed to say is you guys are going to get in the car, drive from where you are down to Disney, like avoiding all the clickers and all the zombies and all of the other shit, like shotguns in hand, and go get these four fucking volumes, like kick down his Disney door. It's going to be like a door with a giant D on it. Take that however you want.
I think.
And then you just like kick in the door with the shotguns, be like, give me my shit.
I would be surprised if she didn't throw them out by now. I would be surprised if she hadn't, because it's been like 8 years, and I really.
It still sounds like a road trip to me. Sounds like a road trip. Like you get to the road trip, and you're like, you kick down the doors. You're like, where's my manga? And then like you get the sad music, and she's like, oh my god, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. And like you learn something about yourself. She learns something about herself, and then Nick learns something about himself. Or like, you know, that's the story.
Nick learns that he actually doesn't really like the manga that much.
Yeah,
and I was really more of a Jay Silent Bob reboot, or like we've. Not reboot, but the original where we like find a monkey along the way and Will Ferrell chases us.
It wasn't a monkey. It was an orangutan. It was an ape. An ape. It has no tail. It is an ape.
I don't give a shit.
And then the ape actually had the manga. Just like Community. The ape collected the manga and like had them in a vent.
Annie's boobs.
Annie's boobs.
I think we just wrote a movie here, guys. I think we should pitch
I think
this
we did.
To,
call Netflix. Rewrote- call them up. They'll buy anything.
Let's pitch it up to A24. I think A24 will get it.
Yeah. We can do it. And we'll go all wacky with cinematography and colors and shit.
I'm down.
So
I'm down.
I will say, Nick, I definitely want you to read this manga. So I think, I want to read it. I'll probably buy the first four volumes at some point just so I can loan them to you. That's how much I want you to read this.
Because, wow. Also, Mr. Moneybags over here.
No, here's the thing. Now that I'm living in a house that I'm, you know, staying in for more than a year, I'm like, oh, I could start collecting books again. Seriously, the first thing I did is before we moved is I bought a hardcover of a book. And I'm like, fucking A, I'm getting a hardcover and I'm going to put it on a bookshelf. I'm so excited because I've been getting rid of them for years. Now I can build them back up again. But anyway,
don't throw your sedentary lifestyle in our faces. This Mr. I'm living in one place. I can collect. You know what? Fucked. Keep to yourself. Nobody wants to hear all that.
It's not my problem that you're living the military life.
Whatever.
Anyway, so one thing I do want to say for you, because I know when we discuss things. I want you to know this going into it. So there's been an interesting adaptation.
Wait, are you talking to me or Nick?
I'm talking to you, Jonesy. There's been an interesting sort of English reversioning of One Piece over the course of its history. So in the United States, it was first adapted by Viz Media in manga form. And in the first, I want to say five volumes, originally, you had characters like Roronoa Zoro, not Zolo.
Yeah.
Because Zoro is a reference to Zoro, you know, the Mexican guy or Spanish guy.
the Latino, Latinx.
Folklore hero. Folklore hero. Anyway, him. And then 4Kids bought the rights and they basically made everything worse and changed everything. And in order to make things more congruent with that, they reverted to those names, like Zolo. They changed it to Zolo, and they basically just had to keep it that way for a while. And another thing that you're going to come to is the island of what is going to be written as Rogue Town. Mm-hmm. It's not Rogue Town. It's actually Log Town, because it's supposed to be the city the city of the beginning and the end, you know, as in log, prologue, epilogue, that type of thing.
Cool.
Just a heads up, it's not Rogue Town. It's Log Town.
That's pretty lame because that is a very clever naming scheme.
Yeah. I was very, my mind was blown when I heard about it because I first read it in the Viz form. And then when I was like, oh, I wonder what it's like now, what it actually is, it's like, oh, yeah, it's Log Town. That makes a lot more sense.
Okay. All right. Well, I shall keep these things in mind.
Translation questions, let me know because I know a lot of answers.
Okay. I'll just gloss over them. I'll just keep pushing through like, yeah, okay. Like last night I was trying to read, my wife was doing something that was keeping me up, like, and I could not go to sleep until she finished. So I was just reading and at my eyes, like she came into bed and she was like, can I get in bed now? I was like, yeah, what? And I was falling asleep as she was talking, but I was reading through. So I imagine there'll just be moments where I just kind of shrug. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is this. Yeah. I just want to understand it. I'll be all right.
That's
fine. All that said, you might be confused. This is not the One Piece podcast. This is not Breaking One Piece. This is Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. We got some news to talk about. We actually have quite a bit of news. There's a lot of news. It's layered. It's like an onion or a cake. Everything is a cake. No, it's cake. Everything's a cake. You know what? It is an ogre, but that ogre is also a cake. How about fucking that? Yeah. Oh, not fucking that. But how about that? Yeah. You got it now? You on board?
Yeah, I got it. I'm on board.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That said, those stories. So what order do you guys want to tackle them? I feel like we should throw Tenet's out there first, only because we've covered this multiple times. I want to say the thing, because you know what happens? We start talking, and once we start talking, our engines are revving, and we just like keep going. So if you save Tenet for the end, it just means we're going to keep on talking because we have lost track of time. Or actually, we could save it for, you know, the end, because then we're all gassed, and we're just ready to start talking about the movie. Oh, by the way, we're going to be reviewing Archive. So keep up with that. Yeah. So let's do Tenet first. Let's jump in there. So apparently Tenet is being delayed. So it was supposed to be coming out August 12th. 12th? It's 12th, right? 12th? January.
It doesn't matter anymore. It's been 12th. Delayed.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I know. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what your date is. Oh, that would have been a good headline. Somebody should have written that headline. Anyway, yeah, it doesn't matter what the date is because it's been delayed indefinitely. I have seen such hyperbolic headlines as the next thing that happens with Tenet will change cinema forever. I didn't click that article because it's a silly title. I didn't, you know, I can form my own thoughts and opinions about that without, that's just weird. Just tell me the thing. Give me the bluff. But yeah, Warner Brothers is doing the thing. So I wrote an article about this a couple of weeks ago, and I just said, you know, to their own detriment, they've just been delaying and delaying. but in 2 week increments. And I think the first time we talked about it on the podcast, Jammer, I was like, you know, are they going to do it again? You were like, absolutely, they're going to do it again. It's going to get delayed.
Yeah.
So here we are. This is now. Time is now. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Astus Prologue. Oh, you like that? Huh?
Wait, Nick. Right, Nick, back. What were you saying?
Do you think Mulan will move back now? It has to, right?
Yes.
Disney can't go.
There's no way that's coming out in theaters. No effing way.
They don't think
I
even
don't
theater?
Know why I censored myself.
Well, I guess that makes sense because they're now building up into the other stuff they actually have done. Like they'll have to back up Black Widow and Jungle Cruise and shit again. Whatever else they have.
I think for Marvel that becomes more of a problem than anything else because now you're like, well, if Falcon and Winter Soldier gets delayed, does that have any impact on Vision, WandaVision, and all this other stuff? It doesn't seem like it. Not that much, but you would just be concerned about.
The WandaVision has been delayed to spring, I believe.
I thought they took that back.
So does it matter? They took it back? They changed minds?
I thought the same source that reported that then reported that's still coming out this year.
Oh, well, shit. Yeah, I haven't followed up on that. Yeah, I need to follow up on that to see if what's real and what's
editor, not. Editor-in-chief of an entertainment website, folks. He's like,
dude, this has been a crazy week in terms of information. So, like, it's hard to keep track of what came out when.
I'm just giving you some jazz. I'm just messing with you. I know you've been busy. But yeah, I think my thought on this is, what if it's not good? Like, how good does this movie have to be for people to be okay with all of these delays?
I mean, I think it has less to do with how good it is and more to do with how much clout Christopher Nolan has and how much they just want his pull and they want him for whatever future movies that he does because he gets butts in seats no matter what. So it's like, it's all about pleasing, you know, the one of five filmmakers who's able to command a $150 million budget on original idea, you know? So it's about pleasing him, kissing that ring so that you can continue to work together in the future. That's what I think it is. It's about pleasing him and hoping to God that even if this doesn't do well, that in the future, they will have pleased him enough and they will have proven, hey, we are behind wholeheartedly your vision, almost to a detriment, that he'll want to work with them again.
Oh, man. There is some Warner Brothers executive just like tearing their hair out. They're just like, release this shit on some streaming platform. They just want it out there.
Well, aren't they actually releasing it in other countries like soon?
I mean, no. They probably worry about pirating, which is, yeah, understandable.
I heard they're going to do a weird rollout, I thought. With bigger gaps than normal.
I don't think they're going to
show it in other countries.
I wouldn't. That'd be insane. Like people in America. Well, people in America are going to lose their minds no matter what. They freak out about having to wear masks. So you know what? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Destroying my constitutional right to breathe my own air.
They took our jobs.
Anyway. I woke up in a free country. Damn it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Cover our faces in America.
Anyway. Moving on from that. But yeah, I think. What we've heard is that they at least are confirming that this will not be a movie that releases in streaming before it releases in theaters. It's going to be a theatrical release first, no matter what. Now, whether or not that means like a day, a week, a month, 3 months,
simulcast
remains to be seen. I doubt simulcast. I think there's going to be at least a month between no matter what happens. But yeah, I think they're ready to wait on this one for a while.
Yeah, I think it's funny because we kind of talked about this a little bit. The fact that Bill and Ted is coming out and it's going to be dropping on 1 September, but it's dropping both on VOD and in theaters. So,
and you can get away with that with Bill and Ted because it's a smaller movie and it's a comedy. And I think comedies are doing kind of well when it comes to streaming because people want to forget that they live in this painful existence. And
yeah,
I think it'll do pretty well. I'm surprised it's having any theatrical release, period. It's probably going to be like, oh, we're not going to release in theaters at all. I'm assuming because I don't think things are going to get better in September. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think they will, knowing the way people are in our country. So I just expect no theatrical release.
Oh, no. Huh? Something about delayed comedies. You know, I call these, you know, when I say delayed, I mean like by decades until you get a sequel. Somehow they... Like Dumb and Dumber or whatever, it was so much worse. The Dumb and Dumber 2 was so much worse than even seeing like Indiana Jones or Bruce Willis old. It's like, oh, these guys look disgusting.
Oh, God.
They don't even look like themselves. Like, Bill and Ted has a little bit of that in the trailer where it's like, These guys are still saying like excellent and shit, and they're like 60.
You know, I think it is. I think it's very much just like because they're Hollywood people, they've like, I don't know. They just look old, except like they're trying to look young, and that's it's that sort of,
yeah,
conflict. Or the action movies like
more embrace it.
Yeah,
it's not like they're putting extra makeup on Harrison Ford to make him look young. He just looks.
Yeah, that's part of the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, the part of the joke in John McClane or Indiana Jones is that like I'm too old for this shit.
Not the years, of the mileage. And the years.
So yeah, that's Tenet. Catch it maybe one day. Never in America.
It's pronounced Tenet.
Is it pronounced Tenet? No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Say that.
Only in France.
You know what? After the time that I in my head, I know Ahsoka's name, but for some reason in my head, I feel like there's an H. And so that one time.
There is an H. No, it's A-H.
Is there?
Okay, A. Yes. And they flip those words.
They switch it. Okay.
Yeah, they call her Ahsoka, which makes no sense because I'm like, you're not reading the show. You're watching the show. They pronounce her name. Why do you pronounce her name wrong?
I've read her name enough that that's what's happening. And I watch almost every show with subtitles. So that's probably part of it too.
And you're just not listening to what they're saying?
I am repeating what my brain sees and hears. And sometimes that's why when you said, I was like, oh, wait, you're right. You know, there's just my brain's trying to sort it out. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I'll still judge you, but that's understandable.
Fine. I'll take your judgment. You're right. You're right on this one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Tenet, along with Tarjay, we're done with that. Star Wars. It's a fair bit of Star Wars news out there. Jammer, there was one story in particular that you wanted to talk about, right?
So I've been seeing some shit drop online, and I don't want to say it from who because I dare not give them any clicks or views or whatever. And there are two little things. I mean, two separate rumors. One is just like, oh, there's a civil war between Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau, and Kathleen Kennedy, and they're trying to sort of push her out. And then there's another rumor that just hit yesterday or the day before about how George Lucas is being brought in to save Star Wars from Kathleen Kennedy and blah blah blah. And then I see all these posts sharing all over on the internet and people going like, oh, thank goodness, this is the best news I've ever heard. This is, oh my god, I can't believe they're finally gonna save Star Wars. And I'm like, this just isn't how it works. This is all lies. So first of all, I want to say our source at Lucasfilm says, no, this isn't happening. Kathleen Kennedy is basically able to stay however long she wants. Yes, she may leave after 2021 when her contract ends, but it's not going to be a situation where they're pushing her out or they're just going like, oh my God, we have to do this to please the fans. There's none of that going on. She has a good working relationship with Filoni and Favreau. They're kind of doing the TV stuff. She's doing the film stuff. They're getting along just fine. All of this stuff is bullcrap. And the reason why it bothers me is because it's just like it's a very much a situation where people want something to be true. Therefore, they just accept it as fact. And no, don't. That's not the way it works. That's not the way things are. Just because you don't like the movie someone does doesn't mean you need to consider the first YouTuber to say, oh, she's leaving as pure God-given fact. And I think that's what bothers me most is not necessarily the fans, but the people, the outlets and the YouTubers who are pushing these false narratives just because they know that fans will eat it up and you know, accept it and be excited for it and share it. Or they'll get people like me who hate it and get angry at them, except they'll go the extra mile and share it with people because they hate it. So it's just like, it's just about driving those clicks and driving that stuff. Like they're just full of shit and it bothers me. That's all I have to say.
I don't know. Right. Gamer of Lucas is the best thing to happen to Star Wars since the original movies.
I mean, I agree. Let me do this. All right. So nothing against fans. You're allowed to think whatever you think, but what the fuck, fans? Like, what's going on here?
To call people out.
Poll on our official Twitter account, LRM exclusive. Not people, just a poll. The poll here, where the fuck is it?
I'm supposed to have it ready. Okay, here we go.
Which are better, the prequels or the sequels? As of right now, the prequels are winning 62% to 38%.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
What the fuck, fans? Why?
That's an easy answer.
Yeah, I didn't experience this at my last job. It's the kids who grew up with it like it better, even than the original movies. It's their Star Wars.
100%.
But the thing is, I see, like, I'm a part of a lot of Facebook groups for Star Wars. You wouldn't believe the number of 40-year-olds that I see talking about how awful the sequels are and how great the prequels are and how much they've loved them from day one. Just a bunch of them.
Really?
More than I can name. Yeah. It's disheartening. And they're probably the same people who shat all over George Lucas and then now have, like, you know, changed their minds, which is fine, but they pretend like they haven't.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Rise of Skywalker is so bad and negates the entire trilogy because there's no ending to it.
I mean,
I would probably never watch Last Jedi again. It's because there's no point.
Rise of Skywalker is awful. Personally, I don't like the movie. But I mean, I'm also one of those people, like, I get in an argument with Cam all the time. Cam says an ending makes or breaks a movie. And I'm like, an ending can elevate a movie for me. It can't do anything else. It doesn't take away. It can only add, in my opinion. As long as, but let me rephrase that. An ending of a series of works. So the end, I think it's different from an ending of a single work. Like, if it's an ending of a single book, I agree an ending can change and ruin things. However, if it's an ending of, like, a narrative over the course of, like, several movies or several seasons of a show, if you have, like, you have, like, 10 great seasons and then 2 shit seasons, in my opinion, you still got 10 great seasons, and it doesn't take away from that.
No.
Yes, it would suck.
What if Endgame sucked?
Better. If Endgame sucked, that would
suck.
That wouldn't make me enjoy any of the other movies less.
That's true, but those, I don't know, it's less important than Star Wars being in order.
The difference is, I think while you get a smaller bump from an ending, if it's good and the rest of it wasn't, a bad ending just leaves a bad taste in your mouth, period. And I've experienced that multiple times with, like, as recently as Game of Thrones or even Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, since we've just been talking about Nolan. Like, that trilogy is harder for me to watch based on me not liking The Dark Knight Rises, or the Matrix trilogy is hard.
It might just be really weird. Because I think I've realized more and more, I'm super forgiving. Like, if I have 3 great movies and one at the end sucks, it's like, okay, I had great net positive. I had 3 great movies.
It's where you mentally leave those characters. It's where you mentally end with those people. So if it's not good, I think it's just harder for me personally. I think you're right in the sense that it's just a you thing. I think there is no universal truth when it comes to this. This is a half full, half empty type question. And how you've lived your life up until this point will tell you whether or not you need a good ending, or if you've got, like you said, 10 good movies. I still had 10 good movies. That 11th one sucked, but I still got 10 good movies. Like, that's just a personal preference thing.
Well, and I think with The Dark Knight's different than Star Wars, and that you could just say it ended at the end of The Dark Knight, because each movie was made without any plans to do a sequel. Whereas, like, with Star Wars, you're like, I gotta see the ending trilogy, and the last one sucks. You're like, oh, so there's no point to watch Force Awakens or The Last Jedi again, because I know it just turns to shit after that.
I feel like that's different in the sense that I know that there's another movie. Like, I can't play that game in my head where it's like, well, I could just pretend like this movie doesn't exist. Like, I can say that out loud. But then my brain, like, right now, I can see that movie in my head. And I'm like,
I feel like The Dark Knight has a complete ending on its own.
Sure does. But I know that, like, there's
more. He quits. He's disgraced.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he comes on back with his fucking band on his leg. And then an explosion at the end of the movie. Fuck that movie. I don't want to talk about this movie. But the point is, personal preference as to whether or not an ending is the thing that does it for you. So I agree and I disagree with you, Jammer. I agree with you that you can feel 100% feel that way about these. I disagree that, and for me, the ending does make a big difference.
And I think it's just something that's developed over time for me. Like, over time for me, I've been able to, like, feel like, hey, I haven't burned so many times. It's almost like a defense mechanism for me, because I'm like, there's no reason for me to be so precious, because, you know, I still get to enjoy these things. Like, I gain nothing by being upset about a bad ending to a franchise. Yeah, it sucks that it wasn't better, but I could still really appreciate the good storytelling, the good character development, the good whatever done prior to it, even if it doesn't culminate in a way that I think is ideal.
For me, it's almost like how you view, or at least for me, it's how I view relationships. Right. Like, you can say, like, well, we had 5 good years together, but those last 2 years were just fucking the worst. Like, that's over time, I think it's easier to think about the good stuff, but man, in the beginning.
I think that's, I don't know if I agree with that, because I feel like if you had a really shitty 2 years of a relationship, there probably was some big problems early on that you just ignored.
No, I don't know. I think that that's true. I think circumstances change with people. You know what? Relationships are complex. They're not the same as movies, but I have heard you say before. But I was going to say this. I have heard you say that over time, how you view movies can change. And so maybe those are the same as changing circumstances and relationships. But you're right in the sense, like, let's leave relationships out of it. Too complex. Third Batman movie, no good for me. Endings matter to me. Yeah. That said, did you want to say anything else about this particular Star Wars story? Or Nick, did you want to contribute more to that? Like, I don't think either of us really said anything about this war. Like, I don't give a shit. Because whatever happens behind the scenes, I just want good movies.
Yeah. I agree with Jammer about the source and bullshit source. And it's bullshit that Lucas would even want to come back.
Yeah. Why would he want to come back? He purposely was just like, I'm going to retire to my own little world where I'm going to make really artsy fucking fartsy pictures for me and not show anybody, because fuck everyone, because they've destroyed my life and made me hate myself.
You know what I see in my head? I envision like a football player or a basketball player. And so like all of those people, those 40-year-olds that you were talking about before, Jammer, those people that you were talking about, Nick, the young people that grew up with it, like he's that sports player that retired and he can hear the whispers in the crowd on the field or in the stadium. And they're just like, George, 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 George. And he's like, fuck it. I'm putting my jersey back on. Like, that's the scenario that I could see in my head. Like, I don't know. I've never met this dude before. I have no idea what goes on in the psychology of his mind. But when you said like how, like why would he even come, like that's what I see. It's an ego trip. It's being bolstered.
He is going to be involved in things in the future at Lucasfilm, but he's not like, it's not like, oh, he's going to come and save Lucasfilm from the clutches of the evil Kathleen Kennedy. It's not anything like that.
Yeah, she's going to willingly let go with her millions of dollars in tow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically also what I've heard is that she's basically at this point is going to be like, fuck off. I'm going to stay as long as I want.
That's what kind of like what John Boyega said, like people were harassing him at one point and he was just like, he said, Force Awakens, paid. Last Jedi, paid. Rise of Skywalker, paid. Like, you got paid. And
check. You
know, I get as an actor, there might be more to it than that, but you as a fan can complain as much as you want, but he made millions of dollars. And if that makes him perfectly happy and he doesn't have to feel bad about what he did, like he doesn't care.
No, he shouldn't feel bad about what he did, because he did the best he could with the material that was given to him, and like that's, he did a good job, I think, given the circumstances.
Well, I just mean that in the sense that people harassing him, like the same way that people talk about Kathleen Kennedy, like I don't care for what I think that she's done, but at the end of the day, she still got paid. Never, who cares?
Harass anybody for anything like that. Like, yeah, you're allowed to talk and say like, hey, I didn't like the fact that they did that, but don't harass them. Don't seek them out and harass them. Don't be dicks. Don't ever do that, because they're just people who are trying to tell stories and, you know, trying to make movies that people enjoy. And you just being a bickering little bitch is not going to do anything other than piss them off and make them hate you.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that sound clip and I'm going to put that into like the More You Know clip. Stop bickering and being a little bitch. The more you know.
I mean, like I said, you're allowed to criticize and you're allowed to express your anger, but don't do it in a way that is maliciously like pointed at the person who created the thing that they were just doing because they wanted to. It's like they owe you nothing. I'm sorry, Star Wars fans, you are owed nothing. Like, yes, you supported the series. Yeah, you are owed absolutely nothing. And people are just trying to tell stories, and many of them are trying to do as much as they can to tell great stories. And it's just, don't be a shithead. Just don't.
Listen here, Jammer. I paid my money. I sat there for hours. I watched that movie. They owe me.
Mm-hmm.
They owe me.
It's like, no, you paid your money and you got the movie, and that's it. That's the transaction. That's how it works.
I am not satisfied. I'm an American. They took our jobs. I want a good ass movie. Like, that's
then get a refund. Get a refund from your local theater.
No, you got to do it. Kyle and Stan did, and like drive across the country to Mel Gibson's house and get your refund for Passion of the Christ. I sense another road trip movie coming up.
Good, you and your goddamn road trip movies.
That was him before.
First one was mine. Yeah, we can all do it. It's a trilogy.
When you guys are done, I have a perfect segue for the next story.
Okay, good. You well, anyway, my point segue is. If you...
Well, I wanted to call it out so that I could do it.
My point is that don't be a bitch when it comes to people. They owe you nothing. Just enjoy things when they're great. And yeah, just be a good human. Just be a good human.
The more you know.
You know.
All right. Are you done with that topic?
Nick Dahl has a segue.
Off my soapbox. What's your segue? Can you please smoothly transition us from the subject of catheters to whatever you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Why didn't you include Solo on your list?
What do you mean?
I did.
No, Solo was not on the list of, I mean, of prequel trilogies or his poll should have had Solo on it, too. Because what if you prefer Solo to both?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Because I was just comparing prequel. I was just comparing prequels and sequels. Just prequels and sequel trilogy. Just the two.
Well, I know why you didn't put it there. I'm just kidding. Because it brings us to our next topic. And I'm the only one who likes Solo better than both of those.
You know, that was a great transition. That was a great segue. Thank you so much for that segue.
I'm riding away on my segue now.
What are we segueing into?
Lando.
Oh.
Lando. Oh. The continuation of the Solo Star Wars story. In a way,
Donald Glover's coming back. He's allegedly going to be Lando in a Disney spinoff movie, which that's.
I thought it was a TV show.
No, spinoff series. Spinoff series. Spinoff, Disney series.
Did I say movie?
Yeah.
Same movie?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I did mean TV show. But that's what I think Solo always should have been. That would have been my movie? Preference.
Or TV show.
Yeah.
A TV show.
No, a Lando movie. Like I would have been more on board to see that because I feel like between the books and comic books and everything else that came after and before, like I was kind of saturated on Solo and I did not ask for the movie Solo, and it delivered exactly what I didn't want them to do, which was just a check the block bullshit of like, I've said this before. How did he meet his friend? How did he get the Falcon? How did he meet his frenemy? How did he get his blaster? He gets another opportunity to shoot first because you guys like that. Like, fuck off, right?
And he gets
I know. Yeah.
And Lando's like, I hate you. And he's like, I know. It's like, I love you. And I know.
No. Yeah, and yeah. I also...
Exactly.
I know
and that groan.
I have an unpopular opinion. I did not like Donald Glover as Lando. It felt like...
Get the fuck out of my podcast.
It sounded like somebody... He acted like...
Trying too hard.
The son of Lando, trying too hard to put on a Lando facade rather than Billy Dee Williams. He is Lando, Donald Glover was trying to be Lando. It was like a cosplayer versus the real deal.
I would say Donald Glover is closer to original Lando than Lando in episode 9 is.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Yeah.
That was like a shadow copy.
Yeah, I feel like Billy Dee Williams and Skywalker was like... Like, Billy Dee Williams in Rise of Skywalker was just like, I'm so happy they brought me back.
Yeah. I'll make this argument on behalf of Donald Glover. I don't know how much of what you saw was based on, like, the hodgepodge of editing and all this other stuff. If it was a movie that was focused on him, I'm curious how different it would have been. Because having binged all of
Community
now...
It was mostly his voice.
Having binged all of Community, I would like to see what he does with a project that is focused just like, so I watch Atlanta. I've seen all of Community. I've seen his comedy show. Like I think it would be a very different thing if he were the lead character.
Here's what they got to do. They got to open every episode with him saying the Lando Calrissian files. Like, you know how he does that in the movie where he's like chapter one, he's like doing
I saw that movie once. So I don't remember that in the movie. I saw that movie.
No. When Lando's just hanging out on the ship while they're doing something else, he's like doing like a captain's log from Star Trek. And he's like,
so I'm going to go with Jammer. And I think that you have seen and consumed and enjoyed this movie far more than either of us and maybe anybody else on the planet. So the thing that you're talking about, like, I don't remember this at all.
No, there's a bunch of us. Make Solo 2 happen has been a big thing. Not as big as Snyder Cut, but...
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take your word for it. But here's the other thing that I will bolster your argument with another request. I want to see young Indiana Jones Chronicles style bookends to the Disney series. And I want Billy Dee Williams to come back and be like, there was this one time on Coruscant where blah, blah, blah. And like, then you just launch into Donald Glover doing a thing.
That would be cool. That's what I don't need it, but that I would enjoy that.
I don't actually want that, but I want that.
You know, whatever I hear, I want that. Do you know what comes to my mind?
I want to go to there.
30 Rock? Yeah.
No.
That's what comes to my mind.
I think of Napoleon Dynamite, where the guy is selling Tupperware, and he says, "If you get it, if you sell this Tupperware, you get this model ship." And the wife's like, "I want that."
I always think of 30 Rock. Like,
yeah, I'm on Nick's page.
I want to go to.
That's fair. I love. I want to go to there, but it's just whenever someone says I want to go there, I think of I want to go to there. But whenever someone says I want that, I think of Napoleon Dynamite.
And I know this isn't. Unpopular opinion, but I would like to see Solo pop up once in a while. Played by
In the movies or in like in whatever is going on in the franchise?
No, and in Lando. Not like maybe you give him like maybe he's in one episode or something. Because the movies allude to a longer friendship than
it
like
was
one
a ballsy
mission
movie,
giving up the Falcon.
In my opinion, in that they didn't have it self-contained and they didn't end with him being the Lando, the Han Solo that we know. Because
it was obviously
he was
set
still
up for sequels.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I'm like, why? Why would you do that? You're supposed to have it be a negative or downward, you know, character trajectory just because of where he is when you see him a few years later. So, like, I think that was
because
I get why. I'm just saying, Star Wars. Yeah. I get why, but I'm just saying it was weird.
It's not a ballsy move.
It's a ballsy move because they're relying on people actually wanting a sequel.
Right, but you've gotten
to
almost every other Star Wars movie with the exception of Rogue One. So is it really that ballsy?
Rogue One does have a sequel.
Yeah,
it's a sequel series coming out.
Oh, God damn it.
Except minutes after it. No, but I actually bet, I was just thinking about it. I bet Lando's a prequel to Solo. Because you want to see him with L, forgot her name. I love that. I love Walter. Well, what's her name? Phoebe Bridge, but her first name can't be Walter.
Oh, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Preview Wall Bridge. I want her back as L3 or whatever, and I want to see him win the Falcon. So I bet it's a prequel. Unless you have a broken down man.
I don't give a fuck about him winning the Falcon. No, do not give me that story. Do not give me that Falcon. I don't give a fuck.
No. I don't need to see him win the Falcon. I want to see him in the Falcon.
Don't care. Do not care. Don't want to see him in the Falcon. Don't want to see him around the Falcon. I don't want to see him anywhere near the Falcon. Or if he's in the Falcon, I don't care about the Falcon. Do something else that's not the Falcon.
But I want him to see him with his spectre robot who's now trapped in the Falcon.
So I've got the perfect segue.
Yeah.
So you're talking about robots and machines.
Oh, shit.
Damn. Oh.
That these teach
right,
us that?
Right?
That's
I did it.
Segue.
Yes. Take it. So we're here today to talk about Archive, which features humans and people and things and robots and machines, ghosts and shells and deus ex machinas and whatever.
How's my man? Oh, what no play, huh? I really hope you're happy there.
And I'm missing you. A bit. A lot. I'm working on something.
To bring you back.
It never managed to connect a computer to the archive before. I waited a long time. And then I saw something. It was you.
We had a visit from the archive company.
Subject is Almo Julie Alice. Term time so far, 2 years, 8 months, 4 days.
She's not ready to go yet.
Of course.
They think your robots might be based around their technology.
We are obliged to act with force, if necessary.
You made another like me.
I'm not replacing you.
But you did it. What was she like?
She was perfect.
I want to go home.
This is home.
So Archive is at a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 6.3% on IMDb, a 67% critic score on Metacritic, and an 88% user score on Metacritic, which I think is pretty interesting. So, but the 67 on Metacritic, that indicates generally favorable reviews. So I'd like to hear from you guys your non-spoiler impressions of this film. What do you think? What'd you think? Jammer, we'll go with you.
I respect this movie more than I enjoyed it. Ooh. But I think it was well made. I think it was well made. And I think it was well made. It mostly was well within what you would expect from it. Had a little, you know, surprise here or there, but at the end of the day, I just think it constitutes like it's just if you want something that this is a good quote unquote standard sci-fi movie, I think this is probably you could do much worse than this one because it does a lot of the same tropes that you'd expect, but I think it does them fairly well. I think the acting is pretty good. I think the filmmaking is pretty good. I think it's competent, but I don't necessarily think it's truly the story. I feel like falls short in that it doesn't really add a lot more than you'd expect, but it does do a lot of things right all the same.
Okay, I can respect that. You know what I do before I move on to Nick? I do feel like, so you told us either yesterday, the day before, or some point this week, I don't know what day it is, you said that you really liked it, you enjoyed the first 40 minutes. So what it sounds like is that after the first 40 minutes, there was some, I don't want to say downward trajectory, but less satisfied after that point than you were in the beginning. Is that a fair assessment?
Did we lose Nick?
No, he's talking to
I'm
you.
I'm talking to you.
Oh, you're talking to Nick.
No, he's talking to you.
I said, based on what I said before I go to Nick.
Oh, yeah, before I go to Nick, No, oh. I heard it all. I heard it all. I just thought you were talking to Nick. That's why I didn't answer. Okay, my bad.
No.
No, it wasn't a downward trajectory, I don't think. I think it built up pretty well. I think it was fine. I just think that it hit most of the things that I thought it was going to hit. Not that you have to constantly surprise me in order to entertain me, but it really didn't do anything that I wasn't expecting until maybe near the very end. But even that ending thing, the second I saw it, like just not too long before it happened, but a little bit before it happened, to the point where I was like, I'm fucking stupid. How did I not see that coming? I think it did most things right. It's just that it didn't do anything super unique or anything different than I expected. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I do. Yeah. I don't say I think I have problems with the second half, but I do have like some things that I'm interested to hear your thoughts on in regards to the way things shake out. But on the whole, like it looks beautiful. Like it is just a joy to watch. I think the score is also exceptional, and it really helps propel what is kind of a minimal story. If you're like one of those sci-fi people who likes, you know, very low-key sci-fi concepts, or I guess high concepts but low in everything else, you know, it's just it doesn't go a lot of places. There's not a whole lot of expansiveness to it. It's very contained. It's a lot of scenes and rooms. It's all based around the concepts and just the execution of what is on the page more than it is about the scope of everything. I think you'll enjoy it. Because like I said, it's very competent and well done. I just think the story could have done a little bit more than a lot of the cliches it kind of went through, but still solid. Okay. I'd still recommend it, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think the last part of what you said, being contained, it is very moonish and very ex machina in that sense, where it's like the scope of this story, where you physically go, isn't very far. So, Dahl, spoiler-free thoughts on Archive.
I have a few nitpicks, but I liked it. I loved it. I'll say that. I loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah, it hit all the things I wanted it to hit. It was just tension filled because I actually didn't know what direction it was going to go. We can talk about that later.
Okay.
I didn't even know who the villains were, like if what, like which villain would be the one to actually do stuff. If that makes any sense.
Would be the villainized one.
Yeah. If it was going to be outside forces or the robots. And I don't know. I have a few nitpicks. At first, after I watched it, I was like, shit, I could have owned that for $3 more. But then I'm like, no, this is probably a movie I would never watch again just because it's all about the reveals and stuff that make it intriguing. Like, once you know what happens, I don't feel like it's a movie you need to watch again.
I actually disagree with you there because for me, I was kind of waiting for those reveals. And I think because of that, I didn't really enjoy the filmmaking and sort of the tension building as much as I could on repeated viewings. I think if I were to go back, I'd be able to kind of just say like wallow in the cinematography and, you know, the production design and sort of the performances and the little nuances here and there. I think I'd probably be able to sort of savor those more now that I know where it's going. And I'm not just kind of waiting for the next thing to happen. And also now that I know what fully to expect in terms of the style and feel of it.
And I would tell people who want to watch it, do not read the Amazon's description.
Oh, does it give something away?
It gives away not in the big twist, but it gives away the overall concept. Something that you don't find out till later in the movie.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do in a synopsis?
No, but it's too much of a synopsis. I'll explain when we get into spoiler thoughts.
Okay. I'm curious because I want you, if you can, by the time we talk about it, I want you to read the synopsis because I'm curious.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So cue that up while I'm doing my thing. So I kind of agree with you all. I think my overall feelings on this movie is that it was an overly long episode of The Outer Limits. And it felt very well worn in terms of the tropes that it went over. And it struck me as like other things. So there are things that happen in this movie. Like I don't think this is too spoilery, but it was weird in that. So I've mentioned Ex Machina at least two times already. This movie did too many things that I'd seen in that. Like very specifically, I remember thinking, like, if they do a dance scene in this, it's going to weird me out. And then they did. It wore its inspirations too much on its sleeve. Like there are scenes in this where you can very clearly see Ghost in the Shell. Mm-hmm. Scene in there that's straight out of that movie. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing
it. I mean, I think there's something. Here's the thing, I think isn't. I said something similar to you where it's like, it's very much, yeah, it's all about sort of the cliches and goes the well-worn path. I mean, you kind of said that better. But at the same time, people go into who like sci-fi kind of go into sci-fi wanting specific
looking for certain tropes.
And yeah. if that's you, this delivers on it.
I'm gonna explain where it kind of fell apart for me though. So you see 2001 Space Odyssey, you see Ex Machina, you see Ghost in the Shell, like you see all of these things. Where the reason why I specifically say overly long episode of The Outer Limits is because some of those episodes focus on people who are not very nice. And then, you know, things happen to those people and you can tolerate it for 40 minutes or however long it is. I did not like Theo James as this character. Like, as an actor, I generally like him. But the character that he played in this, I did not enjoy watching. And so at some point where I had made up my mind that I thought he was a dick and I just did not give a shit about him, at that point it started to get too long because I didn't care about what happened to him. And so that's kind of where, when I say that's where it kind of fell apart for me. I do think that you guys are right in that it's good sci-fi. It's good to watch. But for me, it's, I think that 6.3 on IMDb is fair, mostly because of what I just said without having to get into spoilers. So,
yeah, I think I'd give it like a seven, maybe 7.5, maybe seven, probably yeah. Low seven.
I would agree with the Amazon score from users. It's 96 and it's 4 out of 5 stars.
Okay. Whew,
too high. The rent is too high.
To be fair, Amazon scales are different. From Amazon Works is like 5 star is like it's perfect. Or excuse me, 5 star is if it's good. 4 star is like, yeah, it's pretty good. 3 star is this is not good. 2 star is this is garbage. 1 star is this is below garbage. Because it very much the way the algorithm works is you're either 4 or 5 is acceptable. Anything else is trash.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. So all of that said, Nick Dahl, are you ready with your Amazon reading?
Yes, and this is us getting into spoilers. I feel.
Oh, speaking of robots.
Oh, I thought
yes, that was the part of it. Just did a thing. No, that was my stupid watch reacting to something. I don't know what this. I'm gonna have to turn that off. I hate that.
So this is entering the spoiler territory. I feel when I read the review, the description.
Right. So that's we're all right. Yeah. So hold up before you do that. This is it. This is your last warning. We're going to transition to spoilers. We've given our spoiler-free thoughts. Nick is going to read what he thinks is a spoilerish synopsis description of this movie, and then we're just going to transition into spoiler thoughts.
And I'm not going to read the whole description. I'm not going to read like the last two sentences because I feel like in the first three it spoils part of the idea. It makes it sound like a Keanu Reeves film that does exist.
Okay.
Okay. In the near future, George Alamore or Alamore, is working on a true human equivalent AI. When his wife is tragically killed in a car accident, he becomes obsessed with the impossible, bringing her back to life. I don't think I would have preferred it if I didn't know she died in a car accident going in.
Because
they reveal that later in the movie.
But yeah, but
and it sounds like that Keanu Reeves movie where his family dies and he builds them back into robots that I never saw.
But I mean, this is a well-worn sci-fi trope. That's the thing, is where you have these person in the present timeline, and it's very clear that the person that their loved one is dead. And I guess I don't think it's that much of a spoiler because it's such a common trope. Like that's the basically the premise of it.
Well, I think if they didn't give that part away, I wouldn't have jumped to, like, I mean, then you know why he's building her rather than it being revealed slowly later. And you also realize immediately when he's on a call with her that she's dead and she's in that machine, even though obviously the final twist undoes that.
Yeah, I guess that's another criticism I have later on, is just sort of like, I'll do it.
Why?
Now, is that I feel like they, they gave us a lot of red herrings. And to the point where I was like, I wasn't sure if I was. I also need to put
the bad guy red herring.
Yeah. And I didn't watch this under ideal conditions, like, because I'm currently moving in. I don't have any furniture. So I watched this on a tiny laptop without any furniture. And so, like, I was, you know, paying attention as much as I could. But I there are times where I was like, did I miss something? I'm not quite sure if, like, this thing was important, how they had him go to this guy in the city where he was getting like a gun that I wasn't quite sure what the point of that was, along with whatever security system was. I wasn't sure about the freaking Toby Jones. Is that it? Toby Jones. His whole character situation. And then with J2, what her situation was. And then at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because of this thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, it really doesn't matter what I felt about those things because they just don't matter in this simulation, so to speak. So they gave us a lot of red herrings that ultimately didn't really matter. And I feel like it would have been great if they were somehow able to make those more meaningful without taking away from that final twist.
Well, I kind of disagree because I like the idea where it's like, oh, who's doing all this shit with security and stuff? Is it J2? Is the main bad guy going to be J3? Is it going to be the company that made the pod for his wife? Is it going to be the corporation? And just the paranoia around, like, who will the villain be? And then the twist happens. They're like, oh, shit. I do have a question about it, though. Is Toby Jones in his vision, I mean, in his world, checking on the computer just because he recognizes him and is rebuilding him?
Like, I don't know.
I mean, Theo, because he did meet him in real life when he bought his wife.
I don't know. And I don't know what the problem is with, like, with his device that was apparently opened, and then why that guy was going to, like, arrest him. And he was like, oh, he doesn't know how things work here. And I'm like, what does that mean in retrospect?
Maybe they can go in.
Was that about? They can go in, but why was that guy being all like, you know?
Think about it.
I think it just shows. I think he knew Toby from before the actor Toby Jones, because he bought his wife the pod, and then I mean the whole reason shit was breaking down is because of his paranoia and isolation that is built within his own mind working on itself since he's in his like weird situation. So like any threat he sees just becomes him being paranoid.
Or maybe it's just because his time was breaking down. His time was limiting, so everything was kind of closing in on him, maybe, but I don't know. And I just don't understand like what the point of that gun was and the security thing. And when he says, next time you call, it better be an emergency. I'm like, all right, well, what did you do? What's your point? What are you for? Why is it under the table? Like I had so many questions in that world that were just kind of like, well, you just don't matter anymore. And that kind of bugged me, but I wasn't sure if it was because I wasn't able to fully pay attention, which is why I give that disclaimer. Like, do you guys have answers to those questions that I just didn't see?
I don't have answers to it, but I would say you were talking before about watching this movie, and now if you watched it again, you could kind of enjoy it. I do wonder if watching it again would answer some of that stuff. What I would have hoped, knowing what we know about things, so it turns out, he's the one in the box, right? Like he's the one that's dead. What I would have wanted from those other scenes is almost like a, what's the name of the book? The Five People You Meet in Heaven. Is it The Five People? Three People? You know what I'm talking about?
I've never heard of that before.
I don't do books.
No, I don't.
I don't do books. So it was also made into a movie, I think. But basically there's this book where this guy dies and then as he's dying or going through the light or whatever, actually he's in heaven, as the title implies. He's meeting different people and they kind of reveal something about him. about the course of his life. And so I would have liked it if, like, for instance, that security system and that gun revealed something more about Theo James's character as he lived. So you could connect those two things. Or like the system that he was working on outside of the house. Like all of those things, I think, needed for me to be a more enjoyable movie and to make me dislike him less. If those things had been touch points that were relevant to his actual life, it would have been easier for me to enjoy the movie.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree. There should have been more touch points on his life that would have influenced. I mean, maybe it did. Maybe it did. I just didn't notice it. Maybe this is one of those movies we need to see a few more times to fully understand. And I would respect that. I can respect that. I get it.
Yeah. And again, going back to my dislike of his character, I knew that he was the one in the box because I wanted him to be in the box. Mm-hmm. It was like a Schrodinger's box type thing. I was like, I hate him so much. I really want him to be the one that's dead. He was just an asshole. Like every
Here's the thing. Here, there was one point where he's definitely an asshole near the end. Like especially when he was just like, "I'll come back when you stop being less dramatic." To J2, which I thought was horrifying. That was bad. But
no, it was little microaggressions throughout the course of the movie. So like it was. So once it was apparent to me that J2 was made from his wife and that she cared about him, I could see that he was being dismissive of her.
Yeah.
And it escalated. Right. Yeah. So, but even before that, right, it was like he locked her up.
It was an abusive relationship. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like little things until you got to the bigger things of, I'm going to take your legs. But throughout the course of the movie, there was just like little stuff that he kept doing and saying that I'm like, I just don't like him. And I wanted him to be the dead one. And so he was. So like I said, it was like a Schrodinger's box type thing. He was the one in the box because I willed it to happen.
Good for you. You made this movie work.
Yeah. I did not like the abusive nature of the relationship. And I think the fact that these robots were made from his wife's essence, know how it works in that world, and
again, I didn't understand it either. I did not understand it, which is why another reason I was confused. I'm like, wait, how did it work? Like,
well, that's the thing. I don't know how it works in this world, but also it doesn't matter. Like you said, like it just doesn't matter how it worked. But I took the premise that they gave at its word, which was he has a box. It has her essence in it, basically. And he basically opened up this box and dripped some of her essence into these other robots. And so for me, that's her. And if you accept that, then like the little things that he says and does just get frustrating to try and watch.
Well, I was also confused a little by the end before the twist. Like, it's already seemed like she was his wife. She had memories and stuff. I'm not sure why he wanted to download his exact wife onto her.
Because she wasn't really. She was just her.
She was so close. She remembered hopping in bed with him.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, I guess it's just, it's the difference between having
favorite album.
Something that's like 90% versus something that's 100%.
Yeah. I just didn't see that part coming, even before the twist. But he's like, I need to download the rest.
It's the difference between having someone who is programmed to be 100% versus actually putting someone's actual consciousness into their heads, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
The point of not liking him, what are you doing with her? Like, explain it. Tell her. Like, you don't have to say I'm going to download your memories into her, but he was not behaving with her in a way that would let her know that there was a distance between them that she could not bridge. Like, he was acting with her like he would with his wife, except with like kissing and sex and all sort of stuff.
Yeah, he had that bed situation where he's like, no.
Right. But that was like, that was the last thing. He treated her more like a human being than he treated J2.
More like a child, which what J2 was, but still makes him a dick.
That's what's funny to me. It was that this literally, whenever he kept having to round them up, it was like, oh my God, it's like he's having to round up his kids constantly, which I thought was kind of funny. But yeah, it's just, I think, I'm trying to think here. I lost my train of thought. Never mind.
Yeah. And so here's a question, and this kind of impacts again, whether or not, how I feel about him. He really did buy that box in real life, right? That was his purchase.
I don't fucking know, dude.
Yeah, those were real.
Which box?
He bought the box for his wife and had the argument and stuff. Where she's like, why'd you do that without my permission? You're going to return it, right?
Okay, so explain why he bought the box to me.
Because it's new technology that keeps people you love alive. So you can at least, even if he didn't know he could build robots out of them, he knew that you could keep talking to someone.
So he bought it in case.
He probably really could.
He bought it for a rainy day.
He bought it like you have a will.
Okay.
Where like it could happen. You need to have it ready. If you don't have it ready, you can't just suddenly be like, I'm going to buy it now and let's put her in.
So he bought the archive and then his wife used it.
Yeah.
Or his girlfriend, whatever she was. That's
what I got from
his wife or girlfriend. Okay.
Which is funny because apparently she wouldn't have wanted that.
Yeah. But apparently since he bought it, he would have wanted it. And in the end, you kind of get greedy when you have it.
But she did use it.
Yeah, but I feel like at that point when you own it and you're like, I don't want to leave my husband. I do want him to live on in some form. You would feel differently than a bed.
I don't even know if it was that. I think she felt strongly about it, but the fact that he was pushing so hard for it, like, well, you must be okay with this.
Yeah, you must want it.
Yeah, you must want it. You wouldn't have bought it. I mean, you might have bought it for me, but you're the dead one.
Yeah.
So there were two things I thought was weird in this movie. One was...
just two?
Yeah, that's all I was going to say.
J3, when she became J3, like fully functioning J3.
Westworld style.
Westworld, Ghost in the Shell style.
Well, I mean, is the milk thing Ghost in the Shell?
Yes.
Because the like whole dipping
that scene
thing
of him,
like Westworld.
Just from the shot of the camera from behind her body as it's moving up through liquid is straight out of Ghost in the Shell.
So Westworld took that from Ghost in the Shell also.
I mean, it's just a sci-fi trope at this point.
Yeah, I'd never seen it before Westworld. So
which is another way that this one just kind of checks the sci-fi trope boxes. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's what it does. What was I saying? God, I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. So when she came back, there was no sort of emotional feeling I got. Like, I didn't get the impression that like, oh, this is a big deal. It was just kind of like, and she's here now. No, it was like, and she's here now. And she's just there. And they didn't even focus on her for very long. Most of the focus was on J2 and her emotional well-being, which I thought was interesting until J2 just kind of unceremoniously Lady Chatterley Lovers killed herself, walked into the water and died. And I was like, well, that was anticlimactic. And it was kind of like, it felt like it was building in a way and then it just didn't really pay off well. I don't know. I guess that whole J3, J2 thing, it just felt unfulfilling to me.
I agree. I don't disagree with that at all.
I am just disappointed they didn't use the waterfall. It seemed like such a plant that either he'd be going over the waterfall because of J3 or J2 could commit suicide over the waterfall. They showed it so fucking often. I'm like, someone's going to fall down that waterfall. Maybe I was thinking of Sherlock Holmes too much.
I was waiting for this to be a story about all the J's coming together to kill him in some way.
That's cool. I kind of liked it. I didn't know who would be the antagonist. Even if you don't like him, he's the protagonist,
right?
But I didn't. Yeah. That's why I did like all the red herrings. I'm like, is it gonna be the company? Is it gonna be the robots? Like, I have no idea.
You know
going
what this
into
movie reminded
act.
Me of? You guys know that meme? You know the meme where the dude is walking with his girlfriend, he turns around and sees another girl.
Yeah,
that's what this movie was. It was like a real life. It was like a movie version of that meme where he would make J1 and he's like, but I can make J2. And he's like turning his head and he's like, but I can also make J3. And he's just like turning around looking at J3. That's this movie to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I don't know. I think that someone else could watch this movie. I mean, clearly you guys did. I think other people could watch this movie and see his callousness as just being like, yeah, he's just a scientific genius dude. But I'm like, nah, he's a dick. Like, he's an asshole. And it's that classic kind of evil genius where you're tinkering with a thing and don't really understand the emotional impact that you're having on the thing that you've created.
It's not just, it's like, it's sociopathic in that it clearly means something to him, but he's not really taking their emotions into consideration.
That's exactly it. And but I think the reason why it goes beyond like a Frankenstein type thing is because you know where these emotions came from. Like, you know where the soul of this being came from. And so it's harder for me to watch it knowing again that the archive is basically like a Culligan water fountain, and you dripped her essence into this thing and created these robots, and you're being kind of dismissive of them. And yeah. I think that that's the reason why it struck me so profoundly. Whereas a Dr. Frankenstein, like, you're not even really sure if these things have souls, right? Like, they're cobbled together parts. Though,
once he finds out, he just tries to kill him.
I mean, that's...
He spends the movie hunting him, even though he knows that he's more than just...
Hey, it's not a perfect analogy. I guess what I mean, in the beginning, I could see where Frankenstein wouldn't necessarily understand or know. And yeah, maybe he did have the wrong reaction after that. But with this guy, like, he knows. And the knowledge from the beginning is my problem with him and his behavior and the way that he is towards all the Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see your point.
That's just me. But I don't really have too much else to say. I think it's a very good looking movie. I think the production values, like you said earlier, Jammer, are really good. I think it looks good. It sounds good. It's shot very well. And but for how I felt about Theo James, this would probably be a 7.5 for me.
That's fair. Like, for me, it's I didn't have as many. I see where you're coming from, and I might have bigger problems with it if I were to rewatch it. But for me, I had bigger problems with just sort of the quote unquote problems, like the cliches.
What's that this dude into. With a gun?
Not just that, but yeah, those things there. But that's the cliches that it leaned into. So it didn't really, it wasn't as entertaining as it could have been to me, because it didn't have me wondering as much as I wanted to be wondering. But at the same time, like I said, if this is a genre you love and you like to see these tropes, and it kind of just, it hits a lot of them. And I think it does them competently, even if it's not perfect.
I'm sorry. And the last thing I would say is I do think that you're right, that people that generally enjoy this genre, I think, could watch this movie one time and make their own assessment. Like, this is not like an Artemis Fowl where I would say, don't even waste your fucking time. I think that this is a shooter's preference. Like, it's hard for me to say whether or not I think you would fall in line with my thinking on it. But I do think it is a well-made movie, and the things that I dislike about it, aside from all those other things that we talked about not connecting to his life, so like the character issues that I had, I think that that's just a preference thing. So somebody else could watch this movie and very much not have those kinds of issues. So I think
something to be fancy
sci-fi should just watch
for characters that, you know, you can have a. Characters that aren't likable, that do things that you don't like, that's just, I understand you not liking it, but at the same time, I think there's room in storytelling for having unlikable characters personally. It is just a preference thing.
I think where you're going to do that, there has to be something more, and this doesn't have that. I don't think that did you guys see Uncut Gems?
No,
I want to.
I don't think that Adam Sandler is supposed to be a particularly likable character in that movie, but there is something about him where you want to see him succeed. I think there is a way to thread that needle where, like, this dude is complete trash. And again,
is it like Frank Underwood type thing?
Maybe
where you're either A, really entertaining to watch, or B, so good at what you do that you just want to see how it turns
out. Yeah, I think that's probably a very good way to describe it, and I didn't feel any of that about this character.
That's fair. I could see that. So he wasn't, it's not that just he was cold, but that there was nothing particularly unique or engaging about him that drew you in another way.
Yeah, I think it's hard to do a movie where someone is 90% of the movie in isolation, and they're just not interesting or entertaining to watch.
He's not Mark Watney. He's not entertaining to watch necessarily. He's not like making jokes or like somehow likable in some way or somehow exceptional in some way. He's just kind of a guy.
I do want to ask you guys. So, Nick, your final thought is watch it. You loved it. Jammer, yours is, you said if you like sci-fi, check it out.
Yeah, I can't guarantee you'll love it, but I think it's interesting, and I think it's well made, and it feels competent. It's just well done enough that it's worth checking out.
Okay, I can accept all that. Well, I think we can leave it there. So it's a fun show. We had a lot of news topics to get through, but All that said, dear listeners, if you like what you heard, you know, you can do all the socials. You can like, rate, subscribe, da-da-da. Do those things. We definitely appreciate it. Also, LRM Online has other great programs for your listening pleasure. And what?
Mind me. That was something on my end. My bad.
All the robots are talking. And you can find those programs at LRM Online, as well as your favorite podcasting apps. So, Jammer, where can good people find you?
Sorry, my bad again.
What is happening?
Don't worry. You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all my stuff at LRMOnline.com. And if you're interested in books or reading, you can check out one of my books under the name of AJ Serna on Amazon or Audible. I just released a box set of my Gin Tamer series, which is kind of like Pokemon. It's a box set 35 or 33 and a half hours of audio for one credit. Also a box set for like, I think it's $2.99 on Amazon. And then also God Mode I released a few weeks back, which is a new Lit RPG series or new entry in a Lit RPG series. And yeah, check those out.
Wait, so is that box set, is that Hendrix or Tangeray?
What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know. You said Gin Tamer. I'm like, well, I'm trying to figure out what kind of box of gin I'm getting.
You're getting a book. A box set of books.
Oh, fuck that. I want to drink, not read. Jesus Christ. What a ripoff. Nick Dahl, where can the good people find you?
Either in the gutter, drinking gin box, or at LRM underscore Nick on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Sir Jonesius, drinking jammers, gin boxes.
That sounds sexual.
Of course,
sexual.
Right here. Does it? Gin? I said gin.
I know, but he's drinking my gin boxes. I mean, that sounds gross.
Because you're not a gin drinker. No gin drinker would be like, oh, I know what that means.
So gin, for those who don't know, is spelled D-J-I-N-N, tamer. So
like Django.
Yes. The or like D genies. Is silent.
Well, I mean, it is the...
Which also sounds sexual.
The culture, I thought.
Is.
Anyway. Check, man. Wrap it up.
Lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Mission impossible.